The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time?
7:31.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 9th, 2014. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and the Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, the administrative office, and each of our Clinton Township schools. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant.
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mr. Frieda.
Present.
Ms. Hand. Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mr. McKinnon.
Present.
Mr. Petuto.
Here.
Mr. Sturgis.
Here.
Mrs. Verdamo. Verderamo, I'm sorry.
Okay. And note, Vito's not here, but okay. Mr. Frieda, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. McTiernan, would you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2014. I'm having a very difficult time saying August 24th, 2014, because I can't believe that the summer is actually over and we'll be welcoming the staff.
25th?
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I said. And I can't believe the staff will be back in the buildings tomorrow and the children will be walking off their yellow buses very soon as well. I know that Dr. Clark and her staff have been working very hard this summer to prepare for our 2014-15 school year. I'd like to thank her and her staff for all their hard work that they accomplished this summer in preparation for the doors to open on September 2nd. I'd like to quickly bring to the board's attention the new Board of Education task list that we update on a monthly basis. All the tasks that the board and the administration have completed from our last monthly board meeting are highlighted in blue. We have added, and those are marked complete. We've inserted three new tasks for the board and administration to complete this fall and early winter that we've identified that are important to accomplish. These items can be found on the second to last page of your document. They include tasks associated with an ad hoc committee that will evaluate the current district website, an ad hoc committee to review our district strategic plan that will be comprised of members of our community, members of our staff, and members of our Board of Education. And finally, an ad hoc committee to review the findings of the demographic study once the presentation is made in October. These new tasks have been highlighted in tan for your review. If you should have any questions, please don't hesitate to shoot me an email or give me a call. I'd also like to bring to the board's attention that Dr. Geip will make a presentation on his findings about the demographic study that he's been working on all summer, the night of our monthly board meeting in October. So he will be available to give that presentation and we will be asking him questions to glean what he's learned from his study. And now I'd like to move on to the report of our superintendent, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. I have a few things I want to share with you about things that have gone on over the past week. The first thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is the parent portal and schedules. Last week, we received some concerns from parents that when they checked the parent portal, some could see their children's schedule and others could not. There's a reason for that, all right? We were trying to be transparent and open the portal, and what happened is the schedules, when you put the schedules in, they don't load in unison. They load in stages, And so what happens is some people were seeing their child's schedule and other people, it wasn't there yet. So once I got a few calls about this, what I did is I shut it down and we loaded it all overnight and opened it at once so that everybody would see it at the same time to respond to what the parent concerns were. So that's, I guess, the way we'll work it in the future. I did also want to share something that happened with Transportation Info on Saturday. So on Saturday afternoon, it came to my attention that some parents were receiving transportation emails with students being delivered to the wrong school, all right? This was not a routing problem, all right? What happened is when I heard that, I called our router, who was working in his office that afternoon, or late evening, I guess it was, right? And had him check, spot check, a number of the routes that I had heard were problems. His routing was fine. All those kids were routed correctly. So then I called our IT director because I thought if the router sends us a list of the students and the routes. We then input that into PowerSchool, which is our student attendance and information system. And I thought the only place that something could go wrong is when you transfer that information, there could have been some sort of processing problem, which is exactly what happened. Apparently, PowerSchool did an update to their program on Friday and then realized they had errors in their program and Sunday morning sent us a patch to fix their program. We put the patch on Sunday morning before we sent everything. We tested the first 20 students on the list and the last 20 students on the list, and it transferred those correctly. It somehow, in the middle, there was a fourth of the students who was a quarter of the students who it turned into some sort of gobbledygook. All right, that's a technical term. So,
how do you spell that?
Once we conferenced about it, we figured out what was wrong. We had shut down the system and we reworked the student data gobbledygook and fixed it so it was correct. And then we sent it out with a note. We sent out a correction with a note saying what the problem was. Thanking the parents who sent us a quick email and I think called Mrs. Grant, letting her know there was a problem, and she was able to reach me on Saturday afternoon and we were able to correct the whole thing. So we did it all in, I think, less than an hour's time, but I know there was some negative feeling about that that was a holdover to last year's issue, but we've got it fixed quickly and corrected, and I think we're all good right now. And any of the questions that are coming in are typical kinds of questions, and we've, I think, been responding to them this morning. I also wanted to share something that when I wrote my letter welcoming everybody back, I noted that you might have some issues entering the buildings in September. There's good news and bad news. So the good news is you won't have any issues entering the buildings. The bad news is there's been a delay and we're working, the work is gonna be done a little bit later in the school year. So we're working on a timeline with the architects and the vendors. And I'll be communicating that as soon as I have more information about when that's going to happen and create a problem with the entrances for you. But as of right now, the entrances are fine and you'll be able to get in the buildings and you won't hear anything from the principals that there's a change in the entrance procedures. So we're good there. All right. I've got a, it's a little bit longer today than usual, so just bear with me. I'm warming up to my welcome to the staff tomorrow. So. What I'd like to do next is on our agenda, we have an approval for the hiring recommendation that I've made for Michelle Fisher, and that is for a supervisor of evaluations and student programs. And I'm really excited about this. I was not excited about the process, as I'm sure Mr. McTiernan will share with you, having been on the committee this whole summer. We actually interviewed over 19 candidates this summer. That's not who we screened, all right? That's who we interviewed, 19 candidates. We had 5 candidates that we brought back multiple times. Michelle Fisher, the recommendation I'm making tonight, was the unanimous choice of the committee. And as a matter of fact, when she walked out of the room, they said to me, don't let her leave, go get her. Michelle is a magna cum laude graduate of the College of New Jersey with a Bachelor of Science degree. She also earned a Master's in Educational Leadership from Montclair University and holds certification as a principal and supervisor. Michelle has experience as a professional developer in reading and writing workshops, inquiry-based science for K through 8 teachers, data analysis and technology, digital storytelling, blogging, and other topics that there were just too many to list. She has worked with the Danielson Evaluation Method, developed surveys, and developed curriculum in language arts, science, and the gifted and talented programs. She's presented parent workshops. We're going to get her to do some of those. Watch for those notices. In math and reading strategies for success related to the Common Core standards. This is the short list of her accomplishments. And we're very, very proud to have her join our team. And I just wanted to introduce her to, I introduced her to the board tonight. But Michelle, would you please stand up and just wave to parents here? Okay. Now moving on to my regular report, all right, which the anticipated enrollment report. As of the printing of this agenda, it was 1464. You'll notice that's a bit of a drop. In the last week, we're up to 1498, all right? And notoriously, the week before school and the days before school, including the day we open, we get registrations. Everybody's back from vacation, and they register their children, and those numbers go up a bit. So they have gone up a little bit more than I expected them to go up, because usually we get about 20 the week before school starts, so it looks like we're getting a little bit more at 1498, yeah. But, and we still have time to go. So we'll have to see what that looks like next month, but just wanted to keep you updated on that. HIV report, we had 2 investigations at CTMS that were determined not to be HIV. Now I would like to introduce Melissa Goad, our district HIV coordinator, who is going to do our required report of the harassment, intimidation, bullying grades, and self-assessment that we do each year.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. Good evening, members of the Board of Education and public. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to talk to you about the self-assessment, the requirements through the Department of Ed and the processes that we've taken within our district to comply, and also share the preliminary results with you right now. So just to remind you, when the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act was put into place, part of the changes in the recent legislation is that districts are required to grade themselves in their adherence and implementation of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act. So in each of our four schools, our school safety teams, which are established through the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act, evaluated our implementation of the law from July 1st, 2013 through June 30th, 2014, using the self-assessment. This is very similar to what we did last year. This is the second year that we've been doing this. The self-assessment tool has 8 core elements, which I'll review with you briefly in just a moment, that addresses all of the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights requirements for schools. And the school safety teams assign a rating for each indicator that's based on the criteria and available documentation. It's quite an extensive process. Just an overview of what we have to do to meet the requirements of determining grades. So I mentioned earlier, school safety teams completed the self-assessments in June. And as I said, that's a very extensive process. We have a lengthy document that comes from the Department of Ed that we need to go through and not only say that we did it, but also have evidence of it. So we've got binders that are very thick with all of our documentation for what we've done within our schools for implementing the legislation. We then created our ratings. Dr. Clark and I went over them, and they've been preliminarily submitted to the Department of Education using the system that the DOE requires that we report through. Tonight I'm presenting to you all with our outcomes and our grades, and the next step after the board meeting tonight will be for us to submit our scores to the Department of Education by September 30th of 2014. At that point, the Department of Ed will review the data. They'll create and issue school and district grade reports, and that should happen sometime. The time frame that they gave us is sometime during the 14-15 school year. If you'll recall, last year I did a presentation in the spring to share the published grades, so I anticipate that it'll be about the same time frame, but we also have requirements, too, that once they're issued, we have to post them and present at a board meeting. So that should happen sometime in the spring, we're anticipating. Then the official grade reports, like I said, will be reviewed in public again. And we'll post them on the website. We have to post them within 10 days of receiving them. So there are some revisions to the self-assessment this year, and that was based on feedback that the Department of Ed received from the field during the first year of implementation, and also includes some clarifications that have been made over time. Last year, the maximum score that we could receive was a 75. This year, they changed that to 78. What they did on core element 8 was they actually added an additional 3-point indicator, saying that you posted it on the website within the 10 days. Another change was made within elements 6 and 7 to have a provision there for schools that did not have a report of HIV during the school year. That was not us, so. So the 8 elements are HIV programs, approaches, and initiatives. The second one is training on the Board of Ed approved policy. The third is staff instruction and training programs. Number 4 is curriculum instruction on HIV and related information and skills. Number 5 is HIV personnel. Number 6 is school level HIV incident reporting procedures. 7 is the HIV investigation procedure. And 8 is the HIV reporting. So I know the Board of Ed members do have a copy of this. We scored for our district a total, an average of 74.5 out of 78. Right now, I'm not able to share comparisons with other districts because the grades have not been released from the other districts. These are just our scores on the self-assessment right now. So what we're going to do is talk about this with our school safety teams, but after meeting with the administrators, we do have some initial commendations, things that we think that we did well. Something that I think really stands out and really helps our programs is that our school safety teams per legislation are required to meet twice in a calendar year, in a school year. We exceeded that meeting time because we use our school safety teams as a committee to really look at the climate and the culture within the buildings, and we're continuously revisiting and reviewing and revising our procedures within schools and the curriculum that we're utilizing. So I think that really is a plus. We met or exceeded the requirements in all 8 areas of reporting. You will see some slight variations within the buildings, but we did meet all of the requirements. It's a very extensive process to compile the self-assessment data, and I have to commend our school safety teams for their work with that. It's very time-consuming, and there's a lot of detail involved. So we have, I think that we have very good documentation to support our self-assessments. Reporting procedures are something that we've continued to enhance this year and will continue to do. We've been able to utilize Google Drive, and that really does help the sharing of information. That's something that we'll continue to utilize this upcoming school year in terms of reviewing those reports, which I'll talk about in a moment. And we'll continue our meticulous reporting procedures and investigation procedures. One of the things, too, that we've identified and corrected for next year, we did have some discrepancies regarding board meeting dates and how we're reporting out the investigation. So Dr. Clark and I spoke, and we now have a procedure that will continue to refine that process for us. So what are we going to do? I think that we did a very good job. I think we scored very well. There's always room for improvement. We're going to continue to look at our trends in our in the schools and across the district to continue to, as I said before, refine our programs. We're going to keep focusing in our building level and looking at those school safety team identified trends within each building, because it does vary. What happens at Spruce Run is very different than what can happen at the middle school. So not only are we looking district-wide, but very specifically in each of our schools. And an area we do need to continue to look at is mandated trainings and continuing to enhance some of those community partnerships and developing some comprehensive training opportunities for all stakeholders. We did just train all of our new staff at new staff orientation. In September, there will be a Board of Education training. We're also looking to include some parent trainings this year, as we have done in the past. It's time again to bring them back and just talk about what is HIB, what does it look like, how do we as a school staff support our children, and what can you as parents do as well. So those are some things that are coming in the future. So that's all I have. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
Sure. Can you just give us the nature of element 3, because it seems to me a little bit of a trend in terms of a weaker score?
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Element 3 is staff instruction and training programs. Let me actually pull out the self-assessment that we completed to share with you some of the things that we took a look at. Sorry, it take me a moment to turn through to find it. Okay, so some of the things that we looked at were completing 2 hours of instruction in suicide prevention. So that is something that within a 5-year professional development period, we do need to complete 2 hours of training. We haven't completed all of the 2 hours, which we will do this school year, but we're still within the 5-year time frame. Some other things that they look at are 2 hours of HIB prevention, which we have been doing on a regular basis, but we'll continue that. Anti-bullying specialists have time during the school day to participate in training, which they do. Those are some of the things that we graded ourselves on. And school building leaders have the opportunity to receive information and participate in trainings as well. So that's the training piece that I talked about. I think we've met the requirements. We're looking to exceed requirements, so we'll just continue some of those training opportunities.
Thanks.
Yes.
Looks to me like the low score for element 3, mm-hmm. All right, from the staff, look like in the suicide prevention training. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the trends that we heard about at some of the statewide and countywide meetings is a trend for students threatening suicide, children threatening suicide at earlier ages. And this is not a trend in Clinton Township. This is a trend they're seeing nationwide, and there are serious concerns about it. And so we've been talking to the staff about this trend, and I think they're feeling like they want more and more training because of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note, too, that there's a score of 0 to 3. 0, meaning does not meet the requirements. 1 is partially meets, 2 is meets, and 3 is exceeds. So we met all of them. We're just striving now to exceed some of those.
Thanks.
I'd just like to share a couple things. First, I'd like to commend Dr. Clark, Mrs. Goh, the administrators and teachers for achieving a score of 74.5 out of 78. I think it's an outstanding score and something we should be proud of as a district. I'd also like to share that, you know, I have a lot of family members who are in a lot of districts in different areas of the country, as well as friends who have children in different districts in a variety of places in this country as well. And I hear the stories about what happens on the buses there, or happens in the classrooms, or happens in the schools. And I have to say that I am always proud to say, well, that doesn't happen in our district. Our teachers jump all over it in a heartbeat. Our administrators address it. And when I hear what happens in other districts and what should happen but isn't happening, that I know happens here, it makes me sad, but at the same time makes me very proud of what we do here. So I would just like to thank all of you for what you do and the differences that you make in the environment that our students operate in every day. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got a couple questions.
Okay.
Nobody fails self-assessment. Mm-hmm. Self-evaluation, typically you're much harder on yourself than your supervisor would be. So when I look at this, I don't understand something, and I'm going to do Spruce Run only because you're from Spruce Run. And I look at element number one, and it has a net opportunity of 15 points. You've achieved 14.
Mm-hmm.
Why not 10? Why not 10? And here's what I'm trying to understand, and I don't get from just looking at this and reading the materials in here. What is it about element one that kept Spruce Run School from being at 15? How did you get to 14 rather than 13, 10, 8, or 5? And whether that's a good element to discuss or not is irrelevant to me. If you could do one element where we could walk away with an understanding of this is how we got the score.
Sure. Each element is broken down into different components. So let me pull the Spruce Run data so I can specifically go over that with you. So core element one is HIB programs, approaches, or other initiatives. And that's broken down into five separate components, each of which can be rated as 0 through 3. So this is the document that we actually go through. So element A, indicator A, the school annually established HIB programs, approaches, or other initiatives. And what they do then is break down for you. Does not meet requirements is no HIB programs, approaches, or other initiatives are established. Partially meets requirements is HIB programs, approaches, or initiatives are being established, or the establishment of programs involves some but not all of the groups, the stakeholders. Meets all requirements is HIB programs, approaches, and initiatives were established and involve stakeholders. And then exceeds is HIB programs, approaches, and initiatives were embedded throughout the educational program for the purpose of improving climate, fostering a culture of high expectations for safe, civil, and supportive student and staff behavior, and the annual establishment and embedding of programs, approaches, or other initiatives involved all the stakeholders. And then what they do is give you a sample, and they tell you this is the documentation that you would look for, and that's what we use when we go through. The sample documentation that they give is the school calendar, meeting minutes, meeting sign-in sheets, agendas, the curriculum scope and sequence, lesson plans, action plans, and purchase orders. So that's just one example. That's one of the five indicators within that first component.
So what you're doing is you're looking at a state benchmarking system,
mm-hmm.
and you're calibrating your activities
Correct.
Against that benchmark, and you're coming up with a net
Correct.
Score. Now you're submitting this net score, and for Spruce Run School, it's 74 out of 78 to the state. How are they coming back to reconcile or approve or give you that stamp?
That's a good question. What they do is there are two reporting periods that happen throughout the year. There is one that runs July 1st through December, and another one that runs January 1st through June 30th. So that's another reporting process that we go through where we verify our programs. We share information about including specific numbers of presentations, trainings, student activities that are done, that they then compare those two reports to our scores and are able to verify that we are actually doing those things. So it's very, very extensive. It's very detailed. And so that's why it's such a lengthy process to go through each individual piece under each component and really determine whether or not we did it And then again, that's where we got our recommendations for moving forward for where we need to, where we'd like to go to exceed the requirements.
Any other questions for Mrs. Goad? Mrs. Goad, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I am looking for a motion for action item 15SU002.
Motion.
Danny Tiernan. A second, please.
Second.
Ms. McLaughlin. Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Clark on her report this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Ms. Hand? Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. Verderamo? And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to our public comments section on agenda items only. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comments section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a very fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make notes of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or the superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening on agenda items only, please approach your microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes.
Hello, Alison Ford, 7 Oakridge Road. I'm going to assume this is an agenda item as Dr. Clark's already spoken about it. It's regarding the communications. I had 5 communications through the IT system. 4 of the 5 had errors. It wasn't just the public transportation. It was also the allocation of AM or PM for kindergarten students. They were sent at 2 separate occasions, and I would actually request that there's more thorough vetting of the information that is sent out in future. One of my concerns primarily with the transportation one is I actually received 2 new houses. And I say houses because I have specific street addresses, which to me implies that I was given addresses of children with IEPs, and I don't know that I should really have that information. Because everything else should be across street as you pick up. But I had 2 specific house addresses. So at the moment, I know information that perhaps I shouldn't know.
Would anybody else like to address the board this evening on agenda items only, please?
Good evening. Jonathan Sowers, 31 Upton Pine Road, Lebanon. I have twins that are starting kindergarten at Spruce Run School. They attended the pre-K program there over the past couple of years. And we're very satisfied with the district, with the school system and the teachers and the responsiveness to our kids' needs and whatnot, but specifically regarding the transportation. We received an email with the wrong location to pick up, going to the wrong school, like Dr. Clark mentioned. My wife and I were going to do an email, but we didn't. I know, Mrs. Grant, I left you a message. Thank you for responding by contacting Dr. Clark and having the problem fixed. But the frustration came where with trying to send an email was, I believe the email that we got outlined the process, said call this phone number, give two options to press, which we did, and then the message you get is send an email. But we went back to our experience last year, every email that we sent was never answered. So I would just like to see maybe a clearer procedure of what to do, contacting transportation, be posted on the internet, as well as any messages that go out from them, as far as specifically who to contact, where to contact them, how to contact them, so that we will get a response. Because last year was very frustrating with not getting responses, and that kind of led to us not wanting to even do an email this time, even though we thought of it. It's just very frustrating. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're now reckon 14 Fawn Drive. It's regarding transportation. I was also one of the lucky moms who received three emails so far, of the one going to the wrong school, wrong pickup time, wrong address. The second one, the correct school, wrong pickup time, wrong address. And the third one, the correct school, still wrong pickup time and wrong address. I did send an email. I wasn't sure who to email. Several people got an email, and Steinheimer was kind enough to respond back. I have not heard anything back from Debbie Krupp Transportation. Just would like to know if anybody has an idea when we will know, considering my son does have an IEP, and he's not in the regular PM kindergarten like all his friends in our neighborhood. He actually is going to be here at Spruce Run full day. And also, how the busing is going to work, if he's going to be the only kindergartner on a first grade bus. I'm just not sure how all that's going to be worked out, but it would at least be nice to know the pickup time and actually where I have to have him.
As far as I know, Mrs. Krupp was working with the routers on all of the emails that she got, and was hoping for an answer either later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. So we were supposed to get them, and as soon as we get them, we'll be sending them out. If you don't get an answer, please email me directly, and I will make sure it's taken care of.
Hi, Andy Berry. I live at 15 Oak Ridge Road in Annandale. I just wanted to kind of reiterate the same. I got multiple communications about the transportation. The first one, we had the wrong address and wrong school. Then the second one had correct times, correct address, but we did not have the bus. And then the third, and I have twins, so we got six emails. Then the third one for each student had everything corrected. But I do want to point out, I had the same experience. The email says to contact a phone number for the transportation department, hit prompt two, I think, and then prompt one. And then when you call the prompts, it says, we're not taking any communication through voicemail, only email us at this email address, which is fine, but I think the communication should say, if you have any issues with this, just email us versus call and then get an email address. So there could be some better clarification if possible.
Anyone else like to address the board?
Hi, I'm Rory Pipling from the Work Family Connection. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Mrs. Gold for the HIV training that she did for her staff and the Work Family Connection. The fact we were able to coordinate everything and get our staffs together was great. I already thanked her personally, but I wanted to thank her in front of the board as well.
Anyone else like to address the board on agenda items only?
No.
Seeing none, Dr. Clark, would you please address the communications, please?
Yeah. In terms of contact information, I'll look at what that says and go over that and see if we can correct that to make it easier for everyone. I think part of that had to do with last year and some of the volume that we had, which we thankfully don't have right now. So we're trying to get everything squared away in the next 2 days. So hopefully you'll hear from us. If you don't, contact me, and I will look at changing how to contact us for the future.
I believe that Mrs. Krupp was looking to address everybody and answering back their emails by this evening. She was there till 6.
Yeah.
Do we know how many people were impacted by this?
I know about a quarter of the parent population. One of the things why they got, I think, multiple emails too, is that when I first heard there was a problem, I texted IT to shut everything down immediately. So some people who didn't even get their information wound up with corrections, all right, because they, when we put out the new information, that's what happened, all right. But it was about a quarter of the student population that when it transferred through PowerSchool, it garbled it and switched schools, and I don't know how it did it, but it did.
So this has happened, and hopefully we can assume that this is fixed for this occasion within the next day or two, ideally
right.
Tomorrow. How do we assure, because to me it's something that we should be able to do, that when we do this next time, which is we've got 12 months to prepare for, that we don't have 25% of the student population getting misinformation?
The only thing I can say is that I think it seemed to me to be an issue with PowerSchool, and frankly, I'm going to have to look at PowerSchool as a student information system, because when I asked around today, some other districts told me that they had problems in their transfer with PowerSchool and switched systems because of it. That they've had problems in the past. We didn't have a problem with that in the past, but clearly we do. So I'm going to have to look at whether that's the right system for us in terms of transfer of data.
Because we have
massive files that we're transferring at the same time.
I would say, or input, I think it's time to switch and get another vendor. Just hearing you when you first speak that there was a new patch put in while we're doing a release, I just cringed because I've been through enough corporate IT system upgrades, system changeovers. You don't do that. So a firm that would take that risk with our data and our relationship with the public, I don't think we should do business with them. That's my input.
I do know that North Hunterton just changed vendors and they have a brand new information system.
Right. I think we should do the same.
Del Val changed as well because they had problems with PowerSchool. So.
That's not an excuse, it's just a course of action.
No, I'm not making an excuse. It was, you know, a problem. So.
Okay, moving on to our first recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our first recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest only. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Would anyone like to address the board? Okay. Seeing none, let's move on then, please, to the report of our school business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Jeskowitz.
I just have the current date of the next Board of Education meeting is scheduled for Monday, September 22nd, 2014 at 7 p.m. in this auditorium here in the middle school.
I'd just like to point out that that's a change in time. We normally meet at 7:30. There's going to be a 7 o'clock meeting because we're going to do board training for HIB in that first hour time period as we open.
Looking for a motion, please, for 15BA005.
Motion.
Kevin Malloy. A second, please.
Second.
Dan. Any questions for Mr. Jeskowitz, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote?
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
I see 2005. I need to abstain on the minutes. Am I missing something? Do I see 2005?
There's just one action item.
Okay, just carry over from the other page.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Mm-hmm.
I actually don't believe there was an executive session at last month's meeting either.
We didn't have an executive session.
Right, so it's just one carry-all motion.
All right. I need to abstain on 005. I was not present for the July 28th, 2014 meeting.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I would like to move on to the reports of our committees. Our first committee is Facilities and Finance. Mr. Kevin Malloy is the chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, would you please give your report of your committee, sir?
I will. Thank you very much. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on August 18th, and our new business administrator, AJ, got the ball rolling very, very quickly. We were able to tackle various issues as respects Facilities and Finance and Facilities and Grounds through his pristine agenda making and our ability to move things along very, very well. So we'll start with Facilities and Finance. The first item was the moving of funds left over from the 2013-14 budget. We have moved $250,000 into our maintenance reserve and the full balance of approximately $750,000, and AJ, please correct me if you feel I'm off base here, into our capital reserve, which was the balance of the surplus. The reason we did that is because our capital reserve surplus was completely depleted the prior year for other projects. So the movement of monies into reserves is basically, with Dr. Clark and AJ's and our auditor's advice, just sound fiscal policy for moving that forward. We discussed the approval of a purchase order module, which would enable our building administrators and our business administrator's office and our superintendent to move forward with the approval of purchase orders in a much more expeditious manner, as opposed to the way that a lot of current districts, including ours heretofore, have done that, which involves a lot of handwriting, a lot of repetition. This is going to make things move a lot more quickly. We discussed items for repair in the cafeteria, and we're moving forward on some of those things. We'll be talking about that. We agreed to look forward into a utility audit. This utility audit is basically an audit done by an outside firm where we conduct a review of the utility usage in our four buildings. There is no cost to the district for this item. Rather, if there are savings resulting from a more judicious and efficient use of our utilities, there is sort of a gain share, which is how the audit company gets paid. So the worst that can happen is nothing. At best, we can save some money. We'll be talking about doing some doc sharing. We talked about doing doc sharing for 403B plans. We'll be doing this at no charge. This is a compliance update. It's important for us to maintain these documents as a matter of good compliance due to some of our fiduciary responsibilities. We talked about an exploration of bond refinancing. Obviously, bond refinancing can lower the tax burden to the district. In addition, there's going to be a new charge, again, a compliance item, for reporting out to bondholders, and that should carry an annual expense of approximately $1,500. We've talked about the purchase of teaching labs out of the 2013-14 budget. So those teaching labs, which for some of you who have been to some of our prior meetings, for example, the books that some of the first grade children and the second grade children did last year, doing some research projects about insects, it was really, really well done, well received. I know from personal experience, because both my children did it and loved it.
Bless you.
Or at least my second grader did it and loved it. So now all K-1 and 2 students, we're very happy to say, will have access to these great educational tools. There will be a new, speaking of cafeteria, a new warming box for the cafeteria at Patrick McGarren, coming out of the 13-14 budget. A new floor scrubber for the district coming out of the 13-14 budget. It's a ride-on. So that's, if anybody's interested, we can charge for rides on the floor scrubber, but we're not letting it out. And we are currently our insurance benefits consultant, Brown & Brown, that provides consulting on benefits for us. We're going to be relooking at the services that they provide. We're going to be asking for a scope of services document so that we can make sure that the nominal fee that they're being paid is being directed at our areas of focus and in a cost-efficient manner. Moving forward to buildings and grounds, we discussed with AJ and Dr. Clark on the committee the implementation of a work order program. The work order program already existed for technology. AJ, in conjunction with Jason, was able to actually work with him to expand that work order program to work for buildings and grounds. So we now have a more broadened and efficient work order program, again, at no cost. As Dr. Clark mentioned, we're looking okay for the projects for the beginning of the school year. We're talking about the removal of the unused stage equipment at Spruce Run School. That's on the item tonight as an agenda item. AJ will be discussing long-range plans with the building principals. Some of the principals have responded, some have yet to respond, but we'll be working on that, I'm sure, during the course of the year. We will be conducting a building replacement cost appraisal. We'll be obtaining a couple of quotations to determine the most cost-efficient and useful manner in which to do that. But a building replacement cost appraisal is pretty much necessary to conduct every couple of years for a lot of different reasons, most notably for amortization of assets when you're conducting your audits of your annual financials. And two, from an insurance perspective, understanding that replacement costs for things like computers goes down, replacement costs for things like facilities and physical assets goes up, understanding ordinance expenses and compliance with new codes, things like that. It's just good governance to do that. A lot of facilities items were also discussed, up to and including working with our engineers and our septic to get some of our septic problems addressed in a very expeditious manner. We talked about that. Interesting idea. We talked about different colored shirts for the facilities and grounds so that folks can determine at a quick glance who's who and who's where and who's why and who's what. It was AJ's idea, and we think it's a very, very good one. We discussed moving from the one shed that Sandy took out to four smaller sheds at the various buildings. That should save time, wear and tear, et cetera. Speaking of wear and tear, we talked about installing we had some salt corrosion from our truck from a lot of salt being moved last year. We're getting that repaired. We will be replacing our fireboxes. That's at a cost of $1,000. That's also out of the 13-14 budget. We were having our SRS playground equipment inspected. That is a no-cost item. We're going to be conducting continual reviews of custodial equipment needs on a go-forward basis so that we can make sure that our custodial and physical facility staff have the tools they need when they need them, and nothing's going to wait. So I think I pretty much covered all the highlights on that. And again, you know, editorially, it was fun to work with you the first time. Looking forward to doing it again. So with that in mind, there are 22 items tonight on the facilities and finance agenda, and a lot of them are the types of things that we see every month, so I'll run through them quickly. Two bill-paying items 24 and 25, the recognition of bills and the payment of bills. Professional development and related items on 26 and 27. Record-keeping contract and well water maintenance contracts. AJ, maybe you can run through very quickly. Are all these renewals, or is one of them a new contract for the third-party record-keeping?
Well, is that you're referring to 028?
I believe I am referring to 028, yes. The ad circuit.
That's the new one. That's for the third-party TPA. So that is new.
Yes.
And that is at no cost.
That is at no cost. The other items are renewal items.
Correct.
Six items related to individual education plans and compliance with that, the unfunded mandate that Dr. Clark so frequently refers to. A send-received tuition agreement item. An item, as I said, on disposal of the old Spruce Run stage equipment. Six transit and routing items, seven if you count a dual residence routing and transit approval item. And finally, a very generous and thoughtful donation of $1,400 worth of gift cards towards the purchase of a 3D printer at Round Valley School, so we thank Joseph Latito for that. That will be pretty cool, and I hope the board gets a demonstration of it when we do get it. I don't know if anybody's ever seen a 3D printer at work, but they're pretty fascinating. So with that, I seek a motion on these items, 15FF024 through 15FF045.
Motion.
Second.
Okay, so John Petito first, Dan second. Any questions for Mr. Malloy, please?
Yes, for Kevin and possibly it's AJ also. At the end of the last year, our auditor recommended that we increase our contributions to the capital reserve, which we are doing. Do you see any risks in putting in these lower numbers than what he recommended, but maintaining also at the same time, is it, I think, a low burden on the taxpayer? Are we okay, or should we be looking at putting more monies into that capital reserve? Mainly I'm asking that question as recently another school district has raised their monies to the taxpayers significantly by having major improvements or major fixes take place, I would say at the last minute, or seemingly unplanned. Are we taking all the proper steps to make sure we're not doing the same?
I can give you my preliminary assessment, and then, AJ, I'd welcome yours. For what we've done, I think that the balance, based on where we were on cap reserve, is pretty sound. I'm leaning on the advice of our auditor on that. If there's a, candidly, also the ability to take the rest of that money and put it into the maintenance reserve, you know, last winter was extremely hard on the buildings in this district, in terms of maintenance. AJ's already found some ways where we can move some repair items out of certain funds and into a more, I think the appropriate bucket would be the right description in terms
maintenance reserve.
Yeah, into the maintenance reserve. So I feel pretty good that we're doing all the things we can do to maintain a responsible reserve and keep the tax burden as low as possible. But
I think what's going to be key is implementing a maintenance plan, because some of the problems that have been popping up are due to the lack of. So with that being said, there was an introduction of a maintenance plan that I had in a prior district. We hope to implement it at some point. We have a computerized version. What we would do is first go through it manually. Then at some point, we will then incorporate it into our own needs here and then disseminate it out to each of the buildings so it can be done on a monthly basis, semi-annual, and annual basis. So those are the phases of that maintenance plan.
Okay. I feel good about it.
Good. Thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Malloy?
I had a question on FFO37, the obsolete stage equipment. Is
yep.
that possible to donate to an organization as opposed to just disposing of it?
If they're willing to get it.
Actually,
yeah.
We have someone picking it up tomorrow. I put it out to my association. I had about 10 school districts get back to me. The first one that is coming to get is the Irvington School District, and they're picking it up tomorrow.
I think, yeah, to the point of the committee meeting, the only thing we were concerned about is we're happy to donate as long as somebody was willing to come and get it.
Right.
Which they are.
Which they are, so.
And they're bringing sufficient help that we don't need to have any of our men involved.
That's great. Awesome.
That's great.
And I'm sure Mrs. Goat is happy.
How many times do you have to say get off that now? None, right? Get off that.
Don't touch that. Mr. Sturgis?
I have one on 034. Mr. Malloy, I'll ask you, but I don't know if you'll be able to answer. We have a contract with Morris County ESC for an LDTC. We talked about this a little bit in policy and curriculum. I just wanted to ask maybe Dr. Clark, how do we engage the LDTC? Because it's the per diem rate. Do we hire them for a task, like an assessment? Do we ask them to come in for a training? Do they come in for a fixed period of time? How do we engage them?
What we do is we hire them for a number of cases and evaluations. So I'm looking at Mrs. Steinmeier. Do you want to answer?
They will be contracted for up to 3 days per week, and they will come and serve as case managers for testing and be part of our team, just as if we hired them.
So, like, say you had an IEP team for an individual student, would the same case manager follow that team through the year?
Okay. Correct. Okay.
The rate seemed reasonable, the per diem rate, compared to some other shared services or out-of-district rates that we've seen.
It's actually a little bit cheaper than the 100.
Yeah. Thank you.
One of the things that I would like to share is that there is a great deal of difficulty finding LDTCs, learning disability teacher consultants. They just don't exist very much anymore. It's another one of those positions that has been disappearing. We need the position, but people who are trained and certified as LDTCs are not around anymore. Part of it is the graying of our population and retirements. The other part of it has to do with some things that the state did in terms of indicating that they were going to change the need for LDTCs for the future, and people stopped training in that area, and then they changed back to making sure that they wanted them. But meanwhile, there was a whole area of time where people weren't training. So it's an ongoing problem. It is not an ongoing problem for just Clinton Township. It is becoming very competitive. I actually compared it to the Wild West, in that people are kind of bidding very high numbers, numbers that are in the 90s and $100,000 a year for people like that, that it's become very hard for us to be competitive in hiring them. People just outbid each other when you have someone hired. You think you've got them, and then they're gone. I think we had, what, three hired that we thought we had hired, and then they we were outbid. So just one of those operational challenges that we're facing.
Any other questions for Mr. Malloy?
On 036, for the 14-15 school year, have the numbers changed at all from the previous year? I see there's a 2012-13 prior year adjustment of 28,736.
Those are set for us.
Okay.
Those numbers are set for us. So we don't determine the numbers. I know everybody, there was a lot of talk a few years ago that we determine the numbers and maybe we determine them too low. They're actually set for us, so we don't determine them. And the number moves very slowly. Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our next committee report, personnel negotiations. Mr. Dan McTiernan is the chair of that committee. Mr. McTiernan, can you give your committee's report, please, sir?
Certainly.
Thank you.
We have a couple of changes from the original document that was posted, I believe, on Friday. One under PN039, we've added, and I will massacre this poor person's name, Karen Sinegra?
Sinegra.
Yeah, that name. Went from Spruce Run, or is going from Spruce Run School to Patrick McGarren. Also, if you note, on item 047 at the bottom, we're omitting, or we already have omitted on the current agenda, Heidi Zimmerman, and we've replaced that more accurately with the correct name and the correct person, Kate Zimmerbaum, if I pronounce that correctly. So those two changes have been made and are reflected in the agenda as presented to the individuals here in the room. We have 17 items that are up for review and approval. Many of these are the typical items that administrators go through day-to-day basis, month-to-month, year-to-year, and continue on. We've got two resignations. One of them, unfortunately, is a very highly coveted position that was just discussed, and that is a person with the LDT/C certificate to work capabilities. Again, as Dr. Clark has already mentioned, we're seeing more and more in the school system as we're going out and we're looking for talented individuals to occupy some of these special services positions, that one, there are less and less of them. Two, there seems to be less of a generator, as Dr. Clark has already mentioned, of the ability of those folks to get those certifications or the experience sets that are necessary to make those things work. I think it's also important to note that Dr. Clark, when she initially discussed our process with inviting Michelle in here, and she is on this list also, is don't underestimate the amount of time from a capacity analysis perspective that it takes administrators to go through a list of 90 people to review the documents that are there, to do telephone screens, to do interview screens, and then to bring those people in for interviewing. 90 people is a very significant burden. What we are seeing, as Dr. Clark mentioned, this increases the burden on the administrators, is that more and more people, we are at a position that we would offer them a position. However, they're getting competitive bids, and often other school districts are willing to pay significantly more than what we are. Again, an increased burden on the administrators to get these people in place and providing the services that we so sorely want to provide and need to provide with our students. We also have in this list here is two resignations. Some of these resignations we're going to receive on a regular basis. That's anyone out in the schoolyard, lunchroom, et cetera. That's the nature of the beast. Those are temporary people. We try to make sure that the administration has a number of enough people that, one, are able to be in the areas needed when they're needed, and also that there's a good backup. So in that regard, when we lose these people, oftentimes we do have a bench strength that we can manage with. What we also have is a number of leaves that are taking place. These also require a lot of interviewing times on the administrators, and we do have three people going on administrative leaves of one type or another. And when they go, their jobs are critical, especially a teacher in a classroom. We've got to have someone in there to manage the kids and get that selection process in place and those people up and ready to go. We do have three hires that are taking place this particular month. It is important to note, as Dr. Clark interviewed Michelle, that we did have a very difficult interview process. To me, the team interviewing process is one of the most strenuous and stressful for a candidate that there can be. Because when you're in an interview process, what you typically like to do is get in with the flow and understand the direction. And you have four or five people or six people or seven people that are interviewing you, and you go from one person to another, there is never a flow. It's a hard fought, and it often can be almost a contentious interexchange of information between the questioner and the person interviewing or answering that question. So for someone to get to the point of being offered a job, it's more than just congratulations and thank you. It really is something that's difficult. But in going through that process, I do want to comment on Michelle, is that oftentimes what we do in the interviewing or the selection process or talent acquisition is we go through a behavioral interview process where we're looking for people to give examples of what they have done. That's where candidates are most likely to fail, and that's what increases the amount of time that our administrators have to take in screening candidates. Because what most of the people in my experience have been able to do when it comes to the school's process is they can give you the book answer. Here's the steps. Here's the process. But they're often not able to cite examples of what they have done or what engagement or involvement that they have in those processes or those situations that made them successful and will allow them to contribute to our particular school district. And I'm just pleased to say, being a part of that interview team, which consisted of two principals, a little bit stressful there, wouldn't it be? And also a school nurse, the superintendent, and myself, a board member, to be a little bit stressful, that we had some excellent examples of where, especially Michelle, was able to get involved and engaged in particular assignments at her previous schools and come to very successful and very positive outcomes, which is nice to have. Also in here you'll see that we're announcing is, or we're bringing on board as a person for a webmaster with a stipend to help us get some of our web materials in line and up to speed and working. We're bringing in a student teacher again, maintaining our relationships, which I'm sure we'll see some additions over the next couple of months, working with some of the universities around here that are educating people in the teaching profession. This is a great opportunity for them to see exactly how that works with some really high quality teachers within our school district. A school district with an excellent representation. PN 039, our position changes and transfers. That's just people moving from one school to another, one assignment to another. That's limited, as I recall. That was about six people in there. We also have, we don't get this too often, but we had an emergency situation where a nurse had to spend some additional time here. Nurse made the right decision. We need to pay that person for an extra hour of work that they did. That's on the agenda. We're up for approval. We also are approving the district nursing staff hourly rates for their summer support. We have one summer evaluation yet to be completed that we need to have approved here for an IEP. We're bringing in mentor and bus aid. We've got the athletic and curriculum advisor stipends for approval, and also the list of chaperones and the chaperone rate as currently in effect up for approval. So with that, I'd like to submit 15 PN 029. Through 15 PN 047 for board approval.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Kevin Malloy.
Who was the first?
Dan. Any questions for Mr. Malloy from the board?
I had a question on 15 PN
049. Sorry. Okay. Which one?
You want to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. On 15 PN 031, are we looking for a maternity leave replacement for the guidance counselor?
Looking for
So in other words, when she goes out, will there be a replacement? That's my question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Frey, did you have a question, sir?
No, he said Mr. Malone has a question.
Thank you. I apologize.
I was waiting for Kevin to answer.
I talked to both of you on the phone way too much. I don't know who's who anymore. Any other questions? No. Seeing none, may I please have a roll call?
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our third committee report of the evening, policy curriculum is chaired by Ms. Rachel McLaughlin. Ms. McLaughlin, can you please provide your committee's report?
Sure. Prior to this meeting, the policy curriculum committee met. We had some issues scheduling with vacations meeting over the summer, so we didn't have the opportunity to meet in June or July, so this was our first meeting. It was fairly lengthy, and some of the issues that we're working on will be carried over to our next meeting in early September. A lot of the work of the Policy and Curriculum Committee is to review policies. At the last board meeting, we introduced some first reading policies. When a policy is introduced for a first reading, it gives an opportunity for the board to read the policy, review the policy, and comment to see if there are any language changes. We hire an outside agency, Strauss-Esme, to review the policies for us and keep us current on any updates to changes in the law in the state of New Jersey. Typically, when the policies come in, they're already revised with language changes according to the law, but other times we need to tweak the particular policies to meet the needs of our district. The policies tonight that are before you are up for second reading, so the board has had an opportunity to read them. We didn't receive any feedback that was significant enough to change the policies additionally, so they will be moved forward tonight, and then once they're approved, they will be on the website. In between the first reading and the second reading, they're also available on the website for the public to read. Typically, we try to put them on the main page of the board section. The policies tonight that will be moving forward have to do with home instruction, student intervention and referral services, home or out-of-school instruction, reasons for temporary chronic health conditions, the electronic communications between teaching staff members and students, as well as support staff members and students, removal of students for firearm offenses, assaults on District Board of Education members or employees, removal of students for assaults with weapons, expulsion, reporting potentially missing or abused children. And then we also have three regulations moving forward tonight: home instruction due to health conditions, student intervention and referral services, and reporting potentially missing or abused children. In addition to that, tonight we are moving forward with the purchase of an on-course lesson planning system. This system will help to streamline effective lesson planning for teachers, as well as give administrators the opportunity to put the evaluations of teachers online, where teachers and administrators can access that information. Additionally, for parents, there will be an opportunity for teachers to link their homework to the lesson plans. So further on in the year, you'll be hearing more about ways to access the homework online, and we'll be streamlining that, so more information will come. We also are going to be moving forward with the Board of Education action plan for district goals this year. The board in July met, and we had our annual board goal retreat, where we came up with some goals for the district in terms of student achievement, developing a supportive environment, and engaging the community in a mutually beneficial partnership. And then Dr. Clark met with the leadership team and looked at specific courses of action for building. So things that we're going to be focusing on this year are expanding our readers and writing workshop in grades 4, 5, and 6. Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren teachers will be provided with additional math training in K through third grades. Another highlight is we have been very successful in the past with Parent University, where we've invited parents in to learn about different topics. This year they'll be focusing on different topics that are related to things offered through the Hunterton Prevention Resources, Google searches, you know, violence prevention, and different topics that are very prevalent in society. This is a living document, so as the course of the year goes on, if there are things that the administrators note that might be particularly important for our staff to be developed professionally on, or our students to have additional training in, we can always change this document. We also are working on some other issues that will be brought forth in later board meetings. Usually we have presentations on different topics. Tonight, Mrs. Goad presented. Dr. Clark mentioned that at the September meeting, we'll be doing HIV training, At the October meeting, we hope to have the demographer report. And at the November meeting, if you want to come back for the next monthly presentation, we'll be having our annual testing report, which is always interesting. We have not received all of our scores back for New Jersey Ask, but between now and November, Mrs. Philippe, our Director of Curriculum, will be working on putting together a presentation and explaining the results of that. So those are some of the things that we've been working on in policy and curriculum. With that being said, I'm going to move forward action items 15PC005 through 15PC007.
Motion. Can you go?
Rachel. Second.
Second, Kevin. Sturgis. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin? No? Seeing none, may we please have roll call vote?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Frieda?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Our communications committee, unfortunately, was unable to meet this particular month as a result of vacations and conflicts in the ability for everybody to meet. I know they're working on establishing a date when everyone can meet. So as soon as they do, then we'll meet and then provide us with a report. So I'd like to move on to old business. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask about old business on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather than it's a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and to bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. I'd like to start this section off with Mr. McTiernan. He is the liaison with the Clinton Township Town Council. Mr. McTiernan, do you have anything to report from the town council and your interactions?
Yes, town council is on, you know, during the summer is a limited meeting schedule. Rather than two times a month, it's one times a month. The meetings are they're worthwhile, they're very lengthy in regards to COA. So the council still is looking at and addressing options for COA and looking for a final plan, which is to come. There will be some impact on the school or our planning along with our demographer, but that's probably long-term rather than short-term. So we're looking at a five-year out, maybe more impact to the township rather than a current impact. I think a secondary item with the council, secondary of interest to the board, is that the council was looking at whether or not they would replace a couple of retiring officers, and they have made the decision to do that and bring them on board. Why is that important? It's more, should there be an incident at a school, we want to make sure that there are officers in the township that are able to respond quickly. So they've made the decision to move forward with that, and Lieutenant Higgins is posting the positions in the process of interviewing candidates.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
So when you last reported, I think you said there were 9 vacancies?
Yes.
On the PD? Would these be inclusive of the 9, or does this make it maybe 11?
No, these are some of the current that are out there. There's a sergeant retiring at the end of the year and another sergeant retiring at the beginning of next year. What's happening is with their retirement, they also have days of vacation, et cetera.
Right.
They're off, they're not there. And right now, other officers are having to do overtime. So beefing up the squad to fill those potential other vacancies is not yet something that's on the agenda. It's just to maintain the current staff. And what it does is that it reduces the amount of overtime that officers spent. And I don't know, I interface with officers a lot in my other volunteer activities. And when an officer has been working a 24-hour or 36-hour shift, it's just not a good thing. So they're going to be ceasing that and also be able to do more, I'm sure we'll be happy about this, a little bit more road policing out there. But it'll have people available. So it's making sure that the current headcount does not dip below. Maintain a common
so they follow up. Specifically, where will they be doing more road policing?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What was that?
I was asking specifically where you expect them to be doing
I'm
more
sorry,
road
I have
policing.
A early No, there has been a decline in where they can
ticket.
So they need to fix that.
Observe. Thank you, Mr. McTiernan. Would any board member like to bring up some old business to discuss this evening?
I do. I just wanted to update everyone on the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee. I'm the chair of the Kindergarten Ad Hoc Committee. The
because of the summer months and teachers not being here in the summer, we have not met over the summer. We are also anticipating the delivery of the demographer report. So we will be meeting in September. I will be sending out an email to my committee to reconvene our committee, and hopefully after the demographic report, we will finalize our presentation and be able to make it to the board later this year.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? No? Okay, I'd like to move on to section of new business of the board. Under this section, like old business, this is not a time to make personal statements, rather it's a time to discuss new topics relative to the business of the board. Are there any new topics that board members would like to bring up to discuss this evening? No? Seeing none, let's move on to the second recognition of the public. I'd like to open the floor to our second recognition of the public this evening. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach a microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Everyone wants to go home? Okay. Seeing none then, I'm looking for a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Motion.
Dan? Second?
So moved.
Rachel? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.
You know, Rachel, Brady's on Monday Night Football, you know. No, the copy will be fine because I'm going to keep that in with the, agenda. So this way, when I need to refer back to things, we can look back and see what the progress was during the time.
Okay. Quick question for you. Hold on. Hey, Rachel.
They're supposed to be so great.
You want to get money?
Do I want to get money?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Does anybody have money to contribute?
Tomorrow?